About joy, and we are in the Christmas season. And you've already heard the story about a joy, but in this process of Christmas, we just read a story that had to do with news. Excuse me a minute here while I adjust a few things. You know, we get our news in a lot of different ways anymore. You can get a news in a newspaper if you want. You can get news on your cell phone. You can get news on the TV. And in any one of those places of news, we have different responses to that type of news. We can be angry at the news. We can have a situation where we say, man, I just don't like that at all. Or you can have a lot of joy in the news. That's not normally the case, but it can happen. And in addition to that, you can have fear that's developed out of news. But one of the things that happens in news is that we seldom ever get angry or have a reaction to the media, the medium of news. You understand what I'm saying there? You don't get mad at your newspaper for what's printed in the newspaper. Okay? You don't get mad at your cell phone or mad at the TV. Well, maybe you do. I don't normally get mad at my media for the news, the medium, not the media. I get mad at the media, but not the medium. But it's interesting, in this particular story we just had read to us in Luke, the second chapter, that there is a reaction to the media, the medium, the angels. Every time you see the angels in the scriptures, especially in these stories we've been talking about, starting with Zechariah and going to Mary and Joseph and now to the shepherds, there is a reaction to the one delivering the news. And you know what it is, don't you? It's fear. Because every time, the first thing out of the angel's mouth is a statement, do not be afraid. Now, Ed, I'm going to need to have you do my switch in here because my iPad is out of commission. Notice it says there, do not be afraid, because I bring you news. Now, we know that it says brings you good news, but the essence of this is that the angel himself, being a supernatural being, brings something that is not his message. This is a message from God. Angels are simply messengers of God. That's all they are. They don't bring their own message. They're not having their own agenda. They are not like our media today, okay, that has its own agenda and how it's going to, what it's going to put out to you. It is not their agenda. It is God's agenda they bring to us. And in this particular verse, it says, do not be afraid, because I am pretty terrifying. I bring you good news that will be to great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, Messiah the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. Do not be afraid, I bring you good news. The good news, one more, Ed, would you? The good news, it says, will bring joy to our lives. I bring you good news that will bring great joy. The joy that he is speaking of there is a joy, is a sense of something that's beyond our circumstances. If you think about this man and this woman, Mary and Joseph, and think about the fact that Mary was pregnant now outside of wedlock, and Joseph is her fiancé, who has never had relationships with Mary, and you say to them, I'm going to bring you good news, and this is going to affect your life. And how did it affect their life? Well, it changed their lives forever. How does that become good news? How does that become joy in the life of an individual? When I think about that, I understand that Mary and Joseph looked at those things and they thought to themselves, this is not exactly what I expected in my life. The good news that's being given here is the fact that Jesus, the Savior, is born. One more slide, Ed. a Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. A Savior. Now, I want to take you back to the culture, the emotional culture of this region at this particular time. This news is given to some shepherds who are out in the fields, which is not the normal place you would expect a proclamation of the birth of a king. Okay, Messiah is the Jewish king who would take up the line of David. But in the kingship at this particular time, Herod was the king. Herod, as we've already looked at, is not a good man. He's an evil man. He's a man who's not Jewish in full blood. He is really not the king of the Jews. He was placed there by the Romans. And in so being, every time somebody saw Herod, they saw the Romans behind Herod, and they thought to themselves, this is not good. Herod had no problem killing anybody who got in his way. And so this is not a time of living that you can not be politically correct, because if you aren't politically correct, you just lose your head. Okay, so you say the right things at the right place, and you be careful who's talking to you. You think about the priests at this time. The priests and the religious people at this time, they're just going through the motions. They've been 450 years since the last time God spoke through a prophet to them. And in the process of that, they just started going through the traditional rituals of the time. And so normally God would have talked to a priest or a prophet or a king. Who does he talk to? He talks to a shepherd. He talks to a lowly girl who's just a normal individual. He talks to a carpenter who's just a workaday man. Okay? He comes to the normal individuals and he speaks to them. He says, a Savior, yes, the Messiah has been born today. The Savior. The words he spoke to Joseph were a little different. It says this, you shall give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Well, if you're going to save somebody from their sins, that means that there must be some separation or some sin between us and God. This is God's message, remember? This Savior, who he said is coming, is going to save his people, the Jewish people, from their sins. But joy is a tough thing when you have a culture like this. It's a culture of pain, of struggle, of circumstances that are beyond their control. They can't do anything about it, and yet the angel says there'll be great joy. Well, when we think of joy, we look at James, the first chapter, and it says here that when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. This is not the norm. We don't consider struggles, pain, and hurt an opportunity for joy. At least normally we don't consider that, okay? We don't think that's a benefit to us. And yet James, following in Jesus' footsteps and in the story that God gave them, that there would be joy in the life of those who believed, said this, for we know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, then you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. What he's talking about there is we grow through the struggle of life, and joy is the product of that trusting God with what's going on in our lives. He says the news that we were given is that Jesus is that joy. He says joy is also found in connection. Notice it says, I bring you good news that will be great joy to all people. Now, we just said that the angel said to Joseph that he would save his people from their sins. Well, that can be taken in the Jewish context, but it could also be taken in the human context, that Joseph was one of his people, all of people. And so it says here, I bring great joy to all people, not just to Jewish people, not to priests, not to kings, not to Gentiles alone, but to all people. It is an opportunity for all people because we all have sinned. In the sense of our sin, we understand that we are separated from God, that our sin is offensive to God. In fact, his wrath is poured out upon sin. God being perfectly holy and we being unholy. And for us, that's really, really difficult to understand because we know nothing in our world of perfect perfection. There is no perfect perfection in this world, even though many of us think we can attain it if we work hard enough for it. But there is nothing perfect. So think of the most perfectly pure thing that you can think about. Perhaps that's a newborn baby, okay? Or it's a pure white carpet, whatever that looks like to you, okay? But that is still impure in God's eyes because it's a part of this creation. We are sinful people. We do things our own way. Ever since Adam and Eve said, I'll do it my way. And so what God does is he says, I'm going to send a Savior for you. But this Savior is kind of like this little story. You know, you go, you're driving down the road and you go running right through a red light. And the patrolman pulls up behind you, his lights are flashing, he comes up and he writes you a ticket. And he says, I need you to appear before the judge on such and such a day. And so you go to the courtroom on that day and you appear before the judge. And as you're appearing before the judge, he says, okay, did you plead guilty or not guilty to the charge of running the red light? I guess, Your Honor, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of what I did. Okay, that'll be $100 and $50 for court costs. $150 just for running a red light? I just was talking on my cell phone. Oh, that'll be another $200. So now it's $350. You owe the court. And you have two ways to pay. You can either pay it with a check or cash, or you can spend a night in jail, or you can allow me to come down and pay it for you. I know that's not a normal thing you would hear in a courtroom, but that is what God has said to us. He says, you are guilty of sin, and there is a penalty to be paid for that. Now, the question the judge is going to ask you is, who's going to pay the penalty for you? This is the good news. Who's going to pay the penalty for you? You want to pay it yourself? Fine, he says. Pay the penalty yourself. Either pay it in cash or spend the night in jail. Or allow me to offer you to pay the penalty for you. So which one would you choose? If you were standing before the judge and you had just had a $350 fine and he said, I'll pay the penalty for you, what would you say? It's a no-brainer, isn't it? I'll choose the judge. He can pay the penalty for me. And what happens inside your spirit when that happens? A little smile comes on your face and says, oh, wow, I'm not guilty anymore. Someone else has paid the penalty. You see, that's what happens with Jesus. Jesus came into this world to pay the penalty. He was born to be a sacrifice for the sins of all men, that all men may have an opportunity to trust him as their Savior, to pay for the penalty for their sin. So you can either say, I want Jesus to pay for my penalty, and as a result, there a little smile forms on your lips and you feel better inside and the joy starts to well up, and because, you know what, I don't have to pay for my sin. Or you can pay for your own sin, which means you will be separated from God forever. Set aside, because you're going to pay it in a jail. There's no payment for sin. It's a jail sentence. The jail sentence is a place we call hell. No one wants to talk about that, but that's the truth of the matter. With God or without God? I'll pay for it. You can pay for it. You see, that is the good news. You see, our response to the joy is the same response that should have been, or should be the same response that the shepherds had. It's a response of worship. You know, when we understand that God has paid for our sin, we get joy within us. I mean, I feel better because I even talk about it, okay? And then look what the shepherds did. It says the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. What is worship? Was what we did today worship today? Well, it could be. And it may not be. It all depends on your heart. If you came here and you just sat and sang the words without thinking about what the words said and you were just kind of oblivious to it and you just came here because it was your duty, then I would say that that wasn't worship at all. You were just fulfilling an obligation. But if you came here and out of your heart you started to say to those words, no, that is what I want. I want to honor you. I want to sing joy to you. I want to recognize that God is the one who has created in me what's going on. That's what the shepherds did. They went back to their flocks, they glorifying, praising God. And if you read in that story, it says that they went, and everywhere they went, they told somebody about what they had seen. What were they doing? They were telling people, look what God is doing. God has entered our world as a baby. We have seen it. The angels have proclaimed it. We have seen angels. We have seen the baby. This is fantastic. We've been waiting for this for thousands of years. Glorifying God and praising Him. That's what it means. It means to say, this is what God has done in my life. When we sing the songs that we sing, it is, this is what God is doing in my life. This is what I want God to do in my life. So you see, it also says that Mary treasured all these things in her heart. Worship also relates to how we will respond to the situations of our lives. Will I think about those things? Will I meditate on them? Will I wonder about them? See, that's all worship. And our response to the joy of our lives, the circumstances of the struggle and the pain that we are in, should be joy. Lord, I trust you with what's happening in my life. I don't understand what's happening in my life, but my response to you needs to be a statement of, I choose joy. I choose joy, and I choose to worship you because of the connection that God has made in my life through Jesus Christ, who was a baby, born to be my sacrifice to pay for my sin. So really the question that comes to us at Christmas time is, how will I respond to the baby? But in addition to that, will I receive the gift that he has given to me? Will I pay for my own sin, or will I allow him to pay for my sin? If you've never made that choice, it's just a matter of belief. It's a matter of confession of your mouth. Lord Jesus, I want you to pay for my sin. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to understand the joy that you bring to my life. If you've never done that, and it's nothing about going to church, it's not about which church you go to. It's about a belief that Jesus Christ came to die for my sins. Father, we just come to you today, and we thank you that even in the midst of a struggle of our lives, you can produce joy. And Father, you have also paid the penalty for our sins, but you say to us, which one will you choose? Lord, I would pray that if there's anyone here who has never made that choice, that this Christmas they would make that choice to allow you to pay for their sin and to enter into a relationship with you as a child of God. Father, thank you that we can worship you, that we can conclude the service with songs of joy and worship. Would you hear our hearts, Lord? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.